Areena.
Hello and welcome to this year's final episode of All Points North. I'm Ronan Brown, and it has become something of a tradition on this podcast to dedicate the last episode of the year to looking back at everything we've covered during the previous 12 months. So let's start back in the dim and distant past of January 2025. And it was, if you remember, an exceptionally mild January in Finland. Temperatures across the country were on average about 10 degrees warmer than usual for that time of year, because a strong polar vortex was keeping the cold air away. And here on All Points North, we were looking at winter sports. So I took advantage of the less extreme weather conditions to try ice swimming for the first time. Now, I had resisted the avanto, or the hole in the ice, for the 20 or so years I'd been visiting and living in Finland. But for this episode, I decided to join my friend Pete Bull on one of his ice swimming excursions, and in particular to ask him, why was he doing this to himself?
It's complicated, isn't it? Because every time, it doesn't matter how many times you've been to the avanto, the water, you still ask yourself that question, or what am I doing to myself, knowing the pain that lies ahead? But it's that first kind of 15, 20 seconds, and you're breathing through it, and then you're in the water, and then you almost get to a meditative state. That's what I get to. So it's practice, of course, very much so. But yeah, the benefits, great.
And that splashing you can hear is the sound of me getting into the water, which, if I remember correctly, was about minus 5 degrees Celsius at the time. But it can't have been too bad, because I actually continued going once a week throughout the rest of the winter. But anyway, let's get back to the news cycle. And jobs were very much on people's minds at the beginning of this year, or to be more specific, how difficult it was becoming to get one. And this was especially the case for people of foreign background, as a study by a University of Helsinki researcher published in January found that immigrants face a much tougher time than native Finns, even just to get to an interview. Now, this researcher sent out 10,000 fictitious job applications to Finnish employers. The applicants were all more or less equally qualified, with the main difference being that their names sounded either Finnish, English, Russian, Iraqi, or Somali. Aisha Manai, a specialist in this area, joined us on All Points North to explain why Finnish employers were far more likely to invite people with Finnish-sounding names for an interview.
I think Finnish people are sometimes, they're afraid, they're prejudiced, sometimes they're blatantly racist. And due to those attitudes, they shut the door in front of people who otherwise would have been able to give so much potential and so much excellent input into the companies, into Finnish work life, into Finnish society.
And now moving into February, when the cold winter temperatures really started to bite, as indeed did the effects of Finland's stuttering economy. Because this month we learned that the number of people in Finland living in poverty or at risk of falling into poverty now stood at nearly 1 million, having been on an upper trajectory for about a decade. There was also a significant increase in the number of people applying for basic social assistance, which is Finland's last resort form of financial aid. So on the podcast, we wanted to provide some tips and advice on how to deal with this cost of living crisis. And to that end, Zina went grocery shopping with consumer economics expert Taru Karunen of the Marta Association. Here's a quick snippet.
Yeah, well, it's true. Winter, it's a difficult period of time in Finland. But we do have like our store cupboard staples like potatoes, root vegetables, onions, cabbages, which are usually pretty affordable. And they keep well. So they keep well in the store, so you can buy them all year round. But they also keep well in your fridge.
Okay, what are some easy meals you would make from these ingredients?
Well, soups come to mind immediately, of course, because you can chuck anything in, even if there's something that's, you know, doesn't look very pretty anymore in the vegetable drawer, just chuck it in the soup pot. Casseroles as well, or you can chop all the root vegetables up and put them in the oven and roast them, and then either eat as such or, you know, blend them into a pasta sauce or something like that, which is a great way of using vegetables, maybe even to those picky kids, because you can just blend them into a tomato sauce, for example.
But February was quite grim, and the lack of job opportunities and the harsh economic conditions were leading many foreigners to reconsider whether they had any future in Finland at all. Various studies published throughout this past year have shown that about half of foreign experts move away within 5 years of arriving in Finland, and that highly educated foreigners stay in Finland for the shortest period of time. A separate study published in February revealed that attitudes towards immigrants are more negative in Finland than in other Nordic countries. So, with all of this going on, we heard from some people who had made the decision to leave. In the following two short clips, we first hear from Claudia, who moved here from Chile to study and to work as a daycare teacher, and then from Johanna, a Greek national who had been working in Finland as a counsellor. They both decided that they had no future here.
Thank you, Finland, for giving me the education, for paying my education, which is not cheap, both bachelor's and master's. But if you don't want me here, there are other countries that will very much want me.
Finland will always be a part of me.
I'm gonna cry. Wow, shit. Yeah, so whatever happens, I leave, I go. Yeah, it's a part of me. Shit. Cut.
And so we move out of February and into March. The sun was finally beginning to shine. Temperatures actually climbed to 10 degrees Celsius and even higher. And Finland was once again named the happiest country in the world. For the 8th year in a row, in fact. Well, you can all make up your mind about that particular one, but with all this springtime positivity in the air and with a local election on the horizon, we asked the All Points North audience for their thoughts on the best place to live in Finland. And we received votes for Helsinki's vibrant neighbourhoods, for the tranquil beauty of life in Finnish Lapland, and of course, for the city of Tampere. But while we were on our quest, we also asked a Finn why Finland kept topping the global happiness charts.
If everything is working correctly and we get to go out to nature and have our sauna, you know, we don't want anything bigger than that necessarily. So if you have the basics correct, then we are happy. But we do a lot of work to get the basics right in Finland.
March also saw a surprise visit to Finland by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The visit was hosted by Finnish President Alexander Stubb and was a sign of the strong friendship between the two leaders, as well as between the two countries. President Stubb emphasized this point several times during the visit.
You know, there are times when you know that the world is at a turning point. Right now, we're facing one of those moments or choices between two different worlds, Yalta or Helsinki. In other words, spheres of influence or equal rights and duties for all states. And I do always have to stress that Yalta is Ukrainian.
March was actually a big month for Finland's president and his status on the global diplomatic stage. He was in Florida at the end of the month to play golf with US President Donald Trump, a round that laid the foundation for the US to agree to buy icebreakers from Finland later in the year in a deal reported to be worth around $6 billion. Here's my colleague Matt Schilke on Stubb's emerging role as Europe's so-called Trump whisperer.
Although a small player on the global stage, Finland has the large matter of a 1,300-kilometer-long border with Russia. The country also has universal male conscription, which gives it one of the largest armies on the continent. While those factors are important, a lot of Finland's presence at the meeting in DC this week has to do with Trump's personal relationship with Stubb. The Finnish president is a very good golfer, but don't take my word for it, take Trump's.
He went to a good college in the South, as you know, a very good college, and he was a good golfer.
Okay, so that was March, and we now enter April, when Finland was holding simultaneous local and regional elections. So on All Points North, we hosted a special election episode of the podcast, which was not just available to listen to on Yle Areena, but also to watch. Now, in the week of the election, Statistics Finland reported that Finland's population of people whose first language was something other than Finnish, Swedish or the indigenous Sami languages had surpassed 600,000 for the first time ever. Yet, the turnout among this foreigner demographic tends to be very low in Finnish elections, usually around 20% compared to 60% or even higher for the native population. So on our election special, Ran Blomgrund explained why. Ran, if I come to you first, why do you think that turnout is so low among the foreigner community?
I think there's like several levels to it. One is, first of all, the level of knowledge of the system, knowing that you are allowed to vote. Mm-hmm. And then after that, knowing that who to vote, because if you don't know the parties, you don't know the candidates, it might be that you know that you can vote, but you don't necessarily know who to vote. And then, of course, it might be that all of this is okay for you, but you feel that you are not connected to the system, that you feel that this is not for you, that you feel isolated from Finnish society. So all of these eventually lead people not to vote. And
the opposition Social Democratic Party were the big winners in both the local and the regional votes, while the government parties all did quite poorly. Support for the Finns party completely collapsed, falling to under 8%, with voters particularly unhappy that hospital services were being cut back in many regions as part of the government's wide-sweeping savings drive. Finns party leader Riikka Purra had been front and centre of those cutbacks, as she is finance minister. And health was a recurring theme on the podcast too, or the health of children in particular, because we wanted to find out in April why Finland has seen such a dramatic rise in the number of children being diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder, or ADHD. And this is especially the case among boys, with one in five primary school boys in the North Karelia region, for example, living with an ADHD diagnosis during 2023. Here's Terhi Aalto-Settala, a chief physician with Public Health Authority, THL.
I think even more important factors are the big changes in kids and teens' environments in recent years, like more screen time and less physical activity and less sleep. And this evidently contributes a lot to the increase of ADHD diagnosis.
And her words were very timely because just a few days later, Finland's parliament voted to approve a law that restricted the use of mobile phones by children at primary and secondary schools across the country. And that law, of course, came into force in August. Okay, so that was April, and we are now moving into May. And with summer approaching, many people start to think about taking up a new hobby. So I went along to a beginner's course hosted by Tampere Rugby Club's women's team to hear how a game once considered very marginal in Finland has been growing and growing. Here's Geir Kuppiainen on rugby's surprising rise in popularity.
Is there something, anything, any specific reason, anything about Finnish people, Finnish culture that you think that attracts them to this sport?
Oh, that is a good question. It is actually quite the opposite, I would say. Finns are very, this is a stereotypical thing, but we will like to keep our distance. So sometimes I wonder, like, where to find these people who actually want to be touched, to have some contact in the game. But I think something that would describe, like, Finnish rugby and Finns would be sisu, like, it's a minority sport, but sometimes that brings people together. Like, we want to work for this purpose. Everybody involved is usually very active, like they want to push this rugby message to everyone and kind of bring this sisu energy.
And May, of course, is also the month when the people of Finland, both Finns and foreigners alike, seem to collectively lose their minds over the Eurovision Song Contest. So on All Points North, we asked our listeners where this love of the Eurovision comes from. And here's Leah Martin summarizing what we heard from a lot of other people as well.
Of course, there is rivalry and competition and politics. But what makes me follow the contest year after year is the joy of the fans and just hearing the songs, discussing them with people, singing them with people, getting excited about, you know, who will win or who will bring the most surprises. And it's brought so much joy to my life.
So Finland kind of had two entries this year, one official and one unofficial, as Finnish comedy trio Kai were representing Sweden. But in the end, Austria won, so Finland's long wait to add to the one Eurovision title won by Lordi in 2006 goes on for at least another year. And that brings us into June. Now, Finland's government had, up to this point in the year, brought in a number of new measures which had the effect of making it more difficult for foreigners to integrate and settle into Finnish society. These measures included tightening the conditions around obtaining a permanent residence permit, tougher restrictions on family reunification, and even included a proposal to limit certain social welfare benefits to Finnish citizens only, and that's to name just a few. But arguably the most controversial move was the government's plan to introduce a law which could see foreigners deported from Finland if they are out of work for a period of just 3 months. Turku resident Aya Ahmed, who runs an NGO that aims to bring Finns and foreigners together through shared interests and activities, told us about receiving a letter from Migri informing her that she faced the prospect of her visa being revoked.
So the letter is, to be honest, it's intimidating, I guess, for anybody to receive, because it says, we're going to withdraw your permit. And then they ask you like several questions. And one of them, what do you think about us putting a ban on you to come to Europe? And I'm like, what? What did I do? Like, what crime did I commit for you to ban me from Finland and Europe? Like, what? Why? And also they ask you your opinion about having your permit withdrawn. What do you think of that? And what ties do you have to Finland? And I was just, I have been reflecting on these questions a lot. Like, I'm like, what ties do I have here? I'm building a family here. Mm. My wife is here. My dog is here. Our entire life is here. Hello.
We also heard from Katri Niskanen. She heads up the team at the Ministry of Employment, responsible for drafting this legislation. And she told us that the law change should not be taken as literally as the wording suggests.
Also, it needs to be highlighted that this is no automatic cancellation, that automatically after the 3 months or 6 months have expired, then the person would somehow cease to be legally in the country.
Nevertheless, there were a lot of very worried people out there, not least Rakubul Hassan Ridoy. He is the Bangladeshi national who was stabbed in a racially motivated attack in the Valkea shopping centre in Oulu in the summer of 2024. A 15-year-old was later found not criminally responsible by a court in the city, but Rakubul has been unable to work due to the psychological trauma of the attack, and because he can't work, he could face deportation.
My hope is like if Finnish governments and like everything's like society, they help me to recover these things, like with the visa things and also like mental trauma things, then I can go work and I want to contribute for the society and I want to also improve my life and have a peaceful, happiest life here.
And before the podcast went on its summer break, Zina took a trip down memory lane back to 1975 to hear how Helsinki played a pivotal role in the thawing of the Cold War, because that's when Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev and US President Gerald Ford held a historic meeting in the Finnish capital. Here's a clip from the archives of their first quite awkward encounter outside the Soviet embassy in Helsinki.
3 years. If you come and do a quick piece of business, you go and visit very many places. Quick, я уже 7 раз это говорили.
Как он поедет, если истинно надо каждый раз повторять?
Okay, so that takes us up to midsummer, when Finland traditionally begins its summer holidays. And I think that means that now is a good time to take a short break from the review as well. Okay, welcome back. And we are halfway through the year now. But if you cast your mind back to July, you may recall that Finland was in the grips of a stifling heat wave. A stifling, record-breaking heat wave, in fact. Because at least one weather station in the country registered temperatures above 30 degrees Celsius every day for 22 consecutive days during July. But this heatwave also led to a spate of drownings and near drownings across the country, many involving children, as people tried to cool off during the warm spell. So we sent Matt out to get some advice on water safety from a Helsinki lifeguard.
The responsibility of the children is on their parents. So when on the beach or water park or pools, you have to be always close to your kid and be with him or with her and never leave the kids alone.
And safety was one of the big themes of the summer, because the news that Helsinki did not register a single traffic fatality in the 12 months to the end of July made headlines around the world. That's a significant improvement on the late 1980s, when Helsinki saw a death on the roads every couple of weeks. And so Matt took to the streets of the capital to find out how this year of no traffic fatalities was achieved.
The city says that reduced speed limits have a lot to do with it, as over half of the capital streets now post speed limits of 30 kilometers per hour as opposed to 50. Smarter design has also made streets safer for pedestrians and cyclists. Another key component is Helsinki's public transport, since the network of metros, trains, trams, buses, and even ferries is so extensive and reliable, it reduces car use. Fewer vehicles on the road means fewer accidents.
This is a security announcement.
And the theme of transport was also very much in the headlines over the summer, not least because Finland's national airline Finnair was having a year to forget. 2025 had started out with strikes by Finnair pilots, which led to the grounding of many flights, and then a series of walkouts by ground staff at Helsinki Airport over the spring months and into the summer led to a total of about 2,000 flights being cancelled, affecting some 200,000 passengers. And if that wasn't enough, a consumer index placed Finnair last in a ranking of 20 European airlines, with respondents scoring the Finnish flyer particularly poorly in the categories of reliability and customer satisfaction. So I spoke to Dylan Shah of the Simple Flying News website for an industry perspective on Finnair's woes.
Despite the Flightright ranking, or considering the Flightright ranking, it's also worth considering that StarTrax, another firm, had ranked Finnair 25th in the world.
Yeah.
And that's not just in Europe, that's in the world, right? So that speaks to something, right? Finnair still has a certain quality on the global scene. And despite the heavy disruption that it faced and its inability, therefore, to deal with that disruption, it's still top-notch on the world scale. And in Europe, that makes it one of the best based on Skytrax ranking.
And that brings us into September. And it was a busy month on the All Points North podcast as we covered a lot of different topics. First up, Zina heard the foreigner's perspective on what it's like to raise children in Finland. Here's William Doyle, a native New Yorker who has written two books on the subject.
When Finnish people hear me praising Finland sometimes, I think I sense a little skepticism because, you know, there are challenges, there are problems, there are crises here like anywhere else. But I think that Finland understands childhood very well. Everybody loves children in every country in the world, but I think that Finland understands childhood. And one of the fundamental understandings is they need great, great teachers, schools that are uniformly good to excellent across the country, and they need a lot of physical activity and play.
And I was also in a classroom in September, but of a very different sort. I wanted to find out if there was any point in learning Finnish when you move to Finland as an adult. And the topic certainly split people's opinions, from those who believe learning the language is mandatory to people who have tried and failed and see no point anyway. But here's a short snippet of what the students at a language and integration class in Tampere told me.
Because when you are done here, and then it gives you like an upper hand for you to like gain your, because here in Finland, I think the most, one of the criteria is for you to have a certain language level. And then after then, you can be able to go to Amate, then learn what's the skills that you want to do. So I think it's really beneficial for us.
Okay. And how important do you think it is to learn Finnish? Because a lot of people say that if you speak English, you can get by in Finland. It doesn't, you don't need to learn Finnish.
No,
it's different.
You don't agree?
I mean, yeah, you can find some kind of job, but even jobs like construction or cook or cleaning, the competition is very big, and like every year the requirements for employers, they become more and more strict.
And still in September, Mark looked into the issue of accessing mental health services as a foreigner living in Finland. And this is especially important because a report in 2021 revealed that immigrants in Finland were more than twice as likely to develop mental health disorders than their native counterparts. Unfortunately, though, getting help can be tricky. So Mark met up with clinical psychology therapists Annabelle Battersby and Dr. Hattie Francis Einholm. They run a private practice in Helsinki, but they are originally from Australia and the UK, respectively.
I mean, I would say one of the common themes is experience of being a migrant and losing your competence as grown adults. So there's this kind of one concept called mastery of the environment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, feeling competent is really important for your well-being. Mm-hmm. And I think many, many adults lose that the moment they set foot, you know, on Finnish soil.
Like, what's an example?
Like, for example, I have a client, very typical English-speaking, really highly educated man, but of course he doesn't speak Finnish because he's only been here for 2 or 3 years. And so he doesn't speak Finnish. So he, you know, he had this feeling that in every everyday situation, he'd have to speak Finnish, but he doesn't know how to. So he would be incredibly nervous and just not say anything at all. And, you know,
it's feeling that you don't belong, but also having to take some steps back in your career path as well.
Yep.
And another thing that often comes up is loneliness and feeling disconnected and a lot of people struggle getting used to the Finnish communication style.
Mm-hmm.
The silence. Mm. That's hard for a lot of people.
So that was September. And we also covered a wide range of different topics during October, including the quite eye-catching news that the Helsinki district of Valila was now one of the coolest neighbourhoods in the world. Or at least that was according to Time Out magazine. So Matt went for a walk around his familiar stomping ground to describe its hidden charm.
Nearby Kallio may grab the headlines, but Valila is cooler, quieter, and in its own way, more romantic, the paper wrote, highlighting the district's industrial past, hip present, and over 100-year-old wooden houses.
Also in October, Mark heard from people who've moved to Finland from abroad and decided to stay because they fell in love with a Finn. Which is not always the smoothest road, so marriage and family therapist Therese Sprinkle talked us through some of the issues that she helps multicultural couples work through.
The real challenges that they meet have to do with how their identity changes once they're here in Finland. So if they meet a partner in some other location, and even if they both thoughtfully choose to move to Finland, probably neither one of them realize how much their identity is going to change once they come to a different society. And when they come to a different society that is the home society where a person developed in their childhood, then they experience that person as a totally different person. Mm-hmm. They hold an identity that probably wasn't revealed in the other society that they were living in.
And that brings us into November. This month saw an unwelcome return of the worries that Finland's immigrant community have expressed earlier in the year about their place and even their future in Finnish society. And that's because Finland's parliament once again approved a government bill that aimed to tighten the rules around obtaining Finnish citizenship. We issued a call out in the wake of the vote, asking All Points North listeners for their views on the latest changes. And we received hundreds of replies from very concerned and very confused immigrants. One of them was Bronwyn Vainionpa, a joint citizen of Australia and New Zealand, who moved to Finland in 2023 to be with her Finnish husband. Here's Bronwyn expressing what many other people felt as well.
And to be honest, this is how I've been feeling. I feel that every new law and rule that they've made recently surrounding, you know, integration of foreigners and citizenship, and it's been made to make it harder for us, more difficult, you know, and it's already difficult, in, you know. I feel that we're just not wanted. I feel like the government, they would love nothing more, you know, better than me to just pack my bags and go back to New Zealand, you know. And that would be a real shame. I think it really would, because I do love Finland, you know, and I really wanted to make it work here.
But as we approach the end of 2025, there are some faint signs that the Finnish economy is starting to recover and may even return to growth in 2026. And one key area is the housing market. So Zina talked to first-time buyers, to anxious homeowners, and to housing experts to find out what's really going on. So here's Molly on why now might be the time to buy.
I'm actually feeling rather positive about the housing market in Helsinki, and I'm thinking of buying something. I think the current situation with the war in Russia and Ukraine, it does damper down the market, but it's also a good time to buy then. And I think Helsinki is a place that is very welcoming to foreigners, and, you know, a really nice, it offers people a really nice standard of living. So I think it's a perfect place to sort of commit to living in. So I'm feeling quite positive about staying in Helsinki.
And so we move into December, when Finland traditionally celebrates its hard-fought Independence Day. Now, Independence Day in Finland is always a pretty somber affair, but there seems to be an extra tinge of sadness with each passing year as the number of war veterans from the 1940s dwindles ever further. So Matt spoke with military historian and YouTuber Ian McCullum to hear why it's important that Finland continues to remember its wartime generation.
Especially compared to the United States, Finland has a really important firsthand experience of why it can be worth going to war. In the U.S., like in World War II, the United States was never in any danger of enemy troops on our soil. We've got two giant oceans. It's never going to happen. The United States never really suffered that much deprivation in terms of rationing or, you know, anything. We didn't have anyone bombing us. And in Finland, of course, much of that did happen, like in much of Europe, but Finland was an exception compared to the Baltic states. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and Finland, right before the war starts, are all essentially invited by Stalin to cooperate and provide some military bases, and we'll all just totally be friends and it'll be great. And Finland says no and ends up remaining a sovereign country and growing into the really relatively wealthy, advanced country that it is today.
And finally, after a year of often very difficult, very heavy, and sometimes very tragic news, Zina offered us some respite by highlighting that Finland's west coast area could be one of the world's few so-called blue zones, a region where people live longer, healthier lives. She also heard some useful tips from the Finnish Nutritional Council's Satu Juvakorpi on how we can all eat a little bit healthier.
Well, for example, if you could cut your salt intake, that would be very important. But even though you said one thing, I'm going to say a few other things also. And you could choose all your grain products as whole grain, for example, instead of eating white bread or white rice, you could eat whole grain alternatives, and also increase the intake of fruits and vegetables would be very good.
Okay, but before we move on from the review, a quick reminder that you can listen back to any of the episodes mentioned here. They're all 306 of them, including this one, available on Ule Areira or indeed wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to send us suggestions on what you would like us to cover on All Points North in 2026, you can send us a message or a voice note via WhatsApp to +358 44 421 0909. You can also send us an email, allpointsnorth@yle.fi. Okay, so that's it for another episode and for another year of All Points North. But if you're looking for something a bit different to watch over the Christmas and New Year period, I can recommend Everyone Else Burns. It's a British sitcom that follows the Lewis family, who are members of a fictional ultra-puritanical Christian sect called the Order of the Divine Rod. And Everyone Else Burns is available to watch on Ule Areira. But for now, I'd like to say a big thank you to our audio engineer, Banu Vilman, for putting this episode together. And thanks to you for continuing to listen to, contribute to, and support All Points North throughout 2025. We will be back again with more next year. Until then, bye for now.